This is the Big East Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Always the biggest and the best in sports at Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. Hello, folks. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you for the next 2 hours. We always, right at the top of the program, we love to hear from all of our listeners at eRadio Sports. That's Twitter, info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. The 84th Masters in November. It is underway, and we have scheduled some amazing guests from the Golf Channel. Matt Adams is going to be with us. He is a New York Times best-selling author. You can check him out online with his radio show, fairwaysoflife.com, and New York Post writer and columnist Mark Cazanero is with us. But first, superstar batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a superstar battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and their professional parts people can help you find just the exact battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. It is time. We're going to talk some NFL news and notes with my producer, Jack MC15. Give him a follow on Twitter, and that is Jack McCraw. Hello, Jack.
What's up, E? How are you doing today?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to lead off our conversation. We've got to talk about one of the veterans, and that, of course, is Tom Brady. What happened? He throws a season-high 3 interceptions and 38-3 blowout loss against the Saints. Your takeaways.
So first things first, how in the world do you only rush the ball 5 times
in a game?
That was horrendous. Secondly, I don't want to say it's Antonio Brown's fault that they lost because he only got 3 targets for 31 yards, but at the same time, I wonder what that's doing to the chemistry. And for Brady, he's starting to look his age. This game was the first time that Tom Brady looked like a 40-plus-year-old quarterback.
Well, you have to wonder, is that just a bleep on the radar, or is it a sign of things to come? And you mentioned Antonio Brown. Does this hurt their Super Bowl chances?
It definitely hurts it a little bit, because now the Saints have beaten them twice and own the tiebreaker, so the Saints could very well win the division and force the Buccaneers to be a wild card. I think they're going to still make the playoffs. I can't imagine a Tom Brady-led team would just flat out not make the playoffs, but it's certainly going to be interesting going forward after this loss.
Well, we'll have to wait and see if Antonio Brown, if the experiment will work in Tampa. Hey, much more coming your way here in Hour 1 Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to completely shift gears. We are getting ready to go around the horn with the former general manager of the Dodgers. We're going to celebrate the 2020 World Series championship.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We love our listeners. You can always email the show at info@eradiosports.com, live on Twitter @eradiosports and podcastarena.com. We've had some amazing guests. You bet we're celebrating the 84th Masters in November. It's been a lot of fun to cover. But as a reminder, don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, right now we are going to completely shift gears here in Hour 1. We're going to celebrate the amazing run of the Los Angeles Dodgers in 2020. They are World Series champs after 32 years without a World Series win. The Dodgers took home the trophy after beating the Tampa Bay Rays, and we are so delighted to have back with us. He is truly one of our favorite guests, the former general manager of the Dodgers, who had a remarkable career in baseball. And also, he is here this morning to recount his miraculous story in fight against cancer. And that is Mr. Fred Clare. Hello, Fred. Good morning.
Alyssa, great to be with you.
Well, there's so many things we want to get into as far as our conversation. And let's start off by reliving just this amazing run by the Dodgers in 2020. What were some of your most impressionable takeaways?
Well, I was so impressed with the Dodgers, their performance, and Dave Roberts, the wonderful manager of the Dodgers, has become a very good friend. So I was so happy for Dave, for his players, and for the organization. And I've been asked, well, because it was 60 games, should there be an asterisk or something else? And I said, look, what every team had to go through, what all the players had to go through, this world championship should be acknowledged like any world championship, a championship well-earned. And if anything, there were greater challenges for this year's team and teams than probably at any other time in baseball history. So I'm thrilled with the Dodgers' success. It's great to see the team back on top of the baseball world and to see them celebrate this year's World Series victory. So, I could not be happier for the Dodger organization, and particularly for my friend Dave Roberts.
Absolutely. You are listening to The Voice. Dodgers former general manager and Dodgers executive Fred Clair is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And, you know, you got to feel really good for Clayton Kershaw. You know, the perception of him is now forever changed. I mean, the burden has been lifted. So your thoughts on your ace starter?
Well, Clayton holds such a special place in Dodger history, and he came to the Dodgers after my days with the team, so I really haven't had a chance to get to know Clayton other from a distance. And I will say this, I couldn't possibly have more respect for a player than I have for Clayton Kershaw. And I'll tell you something, Alyssa, mm-hmm. when the Dodgers were struggling to win that World Championship, and so much of a burden on Clayton, and the way that he handled the adversity and the disappointment of not winning in those previous years when they were so close, and the criticism that unjustly, in my view, came his way. Alyssa, you see more about a player in defeat
yes.
than you do in victory. And Clayton showed himself clearly to be one of the greats of the game, a true Hall of Famer. And I am so happy for Clayton and to see the acknowledgement. And the other thing about Clayton that spoke volumes, with all the arrows that kind of came his way when the Dodgers didn't win, when they did win, what did he talk about? Not redemption. He didn't talk about anything other than the team. And that's what he represents, and that's what he is, and he will go down justly as one of the true greats in Dodger history.
The Dodgers, 2020 World Series champions. Let's go back to that series. I mean, think back to Game 4. That has got to be one of the craziest finishes and endings to a game that you've had to have seen ever in all your years of baseball. So where does this one rank? And, I mean, you got to feel good as a Dodgers fan now. I mean, we know what the ending is, but that was one of the most thrilling non-clinching games in the World Series history.
It really was. And to see the young man who came off the bench, who I believe came over from the Kansas City team, and really didn't know whether he was even going to get a bat or whether he would have any role. It showed as much as anything mm-hmm. the beauty of the game, because this is a game that is so unpredictable. And I was so happy for him because he represented a special part of baseball. He represented that player who's not in the headlines, who's not the star, but who has worked hard to reach the major leagues. And to have that moment in time, will be with him and will be with the fans for the rest of time.
So tell us, do you think the Dodgers, they can repeat as champions next season in 2021? What is your belief?
Listen, there is no doubt in my mind that they have the ability to win again. Never easy, but this organization has done a wonderful job, and Andrew Freeman and his staff. This team is built to last. They have great players. They have great young players. They added the player that they really needed for leadership, and that was Mookie. And that made a huge difference. But I'll tell you what, this team is so good that what's going to happen here, other teams are going to have to really raise their level to compete. or they're going to be left behind, because this team is young, it is talented, it is versatile, it is well managed, and you could see a incredible run. I don't want to get carried away, and I'm not.
Uh-huh.
But I was in the game and have stayed in the game for a long time.
Yeah.
This team, in my words, is built to last and will get better. The youth on this team, the talent on this team, the way that they're supported by the front office is tremendous.
Dodgers former general manager Fred Clair is with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We did extend this conversation not only to relive this amazing run by the 2020 World Series champs when we talk about the Dodgers, but also a new book that is out, and it chronicles Fred Clair's journey to the City of Hope and finding a world championship team. It is titled Extra Innings. One more quick question about the 2020 Dodgers, and you mentioned Mookie Betts. I mean, what a game changer when they put him into the lineup. He definitely added a very special dynamic, and that's going to help them in years ahead.
Without question. Mookie, you don't have the full appreciation of Mookie until you see him play day after day, as we got a chance to in postseason play, because Mookie on every moment of every game, defense, running the bases, all of the things he contributes. And when you're the leader of the team and you're the highest paid player mm-hmm. on the team and you play with all your heart and all your soul, you send a message to everybody else on that team saying, this is the way we play the game. And that is critically important. So they did a great job in training for Mookie. And then they really made a wonderful move in signing him. He's going to be a Dodger for a long time. And the good Lord willing with health, he will go down as one of the great players in Dodger history.
We will continue around the horn with the Dodgers former general manager, Fred Clair, after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday morning. We're going to continue our conversation with the Dodgers former general manager, and that is Fred Clair. We are going to highlight your latest release titled Extra Innings, Fred Clair's Journey to the City of Hope and Finding a World Championship Team. Our special guest, of course, is Fred Clair, former general manager and executive vice president of the Dodgers. And, you know, throughout your life, Fred, there's been lots of twists and turns, and you've faced challenges and adversity. But your greatest challenge would come long after leaving the game in 2016. You were diagnosed with skin cancer. So tell us what happened and how you were able to muscle through all of this.
Well, Lisa, it started in what appeared to be a very innocent passion. And the primary reason I went public was because it started with a little skin cancer on my lip. I didn't know it was cancer. It was barely noticeable. I could barely feel it, mm-hmm. but it didn't seem to want to get away. It was so minute. You really couldn't even see it or know it was there. And when it was diagnosed as squamous cell carcinoma on my lip in a very dangerous place when you're hit by cancer, I had the Mohs procedure, which many of your listeners have had. When you spend time in the sun, unfortunately, the Mohs procedure didn't capture the cancer as it should have. It seemed to be very minor. The doctor said it was very minor. It spread into my jawbone, and in 2016, they operated to tumor had gone into my jawbone, was headed upwards, and they operated, cutting my throat to remove the tumor from my jawbone. And then the latest version, as this book dictates or describes, is that just last year, with the radiation, with all that went on in trying to keep this cancer at bay, my jawbone was destroyed. and they performed an operation in July of 2019 where three doctors, 8 hours, took the fibula bone from my left leg and replaced my jawbone. And so I, in experiencing that, and I don't say that this is any great test of anything, because I know the dangers of the disease of cancer, as so many people do. But I wanted to have the book because I wanted, and the author is Tim Madigan. I didn't write the book. Tim Madigan's a wonderful writer from Fort Worth, Texas. I wanted to both alert people to the dangers of skin cancer, protect yourself from the sun, and I also wanted to shine a light on the remarkable City of Hope. And all funds from the book, Extra Innings, Fred Claire's Journey to City Hope and Fun in the World Championship Team, all funds go to City Hope. But more than that, and if one goes on Amazon, they will see the reviews of the book that I had hoped for. It says two things, Elisa. It says the reviews basically point to two things because the author handled it so well. Mm-hmm. What a remarkable place City Hope must be, and what a wonderful caregiver Fred's wife, Cheryl, must be. Because when you are a patient and you're battling cancer, and I wanted this to be known, how important it is, the importance of caregivers is so so important in any patient. And that's where the tribute belongs. That's where the acknowledgement belongs to the City of Hope and to those who support the patients of the City of Hope.
You know, speaking of tributes, I think about one of the stories in your book that I read as far as Rich Key and when he left a package on the porch, on your front porch. Can you share what was inside that package?
Well, thank you. That's so kind of you to mention, because Rich, who had been a photographer, the official team photographer for the Dodgers for many years, and knew what I was going through, he wanted to do something. And so he left a package on our door, and he called me, and he said, Fred, I'm going to leave a package on your door. I don't want you to open it until Cheryl is with you. And when I, when Cheryl came home and we opened the book, there was this wonderful book, no pictures. And this is from the Dodger official photographer.
Right.
The title was shared, and in there, Rich had reached out to friends, to people I had known through the years, and they took the time, and Rich made the effort to put this in a beautifully bound book. And the thoughts and the words of others in giving support to me and recalling our friendships meant so much, Alyssa. And so that's nice of you to mention that, because there's another part to that story. I read once about young woman whose father was in assisted living care, and she didn't think he was being well cared for, and she made up a book herself that showed who her father was, a World War II hero, one who had given his life to help others, and she brought that book in to the assisted living home, and she said, you may not know my father, but I want to show you who he is.
Wow.
And Alyssa, there's a point there for all of us. When we see people who are going through difficult times, we need to give them our support. We need to support our friends. We need to support our family. And particularly as they get older, we need to tell others and to pay respect to those who have lived well-lived lives.
So, Fred, tell all of our listeners, how are you doing today? And also, share a little bit about as far as your wife. I mean, she's been right by your side. And I just can't even imagine, you know, reading through the book, just the fear, the anxiety that she was experiencing.
Well, see, I've been so blessed. And Cheryl, my wife, and my children, and my friends, my children, Jeff, Jennifer, and Kim, and my friends have been so supportive, which has meant so much. And in the book, the writer Tim Madigan, I know there's a passage there that when people ask me how I am, just as you have asked, I now today, I used to say great, because for 80 years, I probably was one of the healthiest people on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. I never took a medication. I was a runner. I loved everything about it. I had never been in a hospital. I had experienced zero problems for 80 years. I used to say great. I don't say great now. I say blessed. Mm. I'm blessed. And I want to do everything that I can to help others and to help the City of Hope. I had an appointment with the City of Hope yesterday. And Lisa, for those in on your audience, and they know those who have friends, family, who are patients in hospitals today, it is so challenging because of the virus, because of right. other illnesses,
yes.
that their family can't be with them. Others can't be with them for support. And these hospitals, you talk about our true heroes in the world today, and mm-hmm. we have many of them
right.
who are on the front lines. But the people in the hospitals, the nurses, the volunteers, everybody involved. And so that's where I spend my time these days, is trying to raise funds and trying to pay tribute to the greatest people that I've encountered in my life. And people ask me about Dodger days, and I had a wonderful experience for 30 years with the Dodgers. To be the executive vice president and general manager, but with all due respect to the Dodgers or any other organization, I'm proud to say that City of Hope is the greatest team I've ever been a part of.
It is titled Extra Innings, Fred Claire's Journey to the City of Hope and Finding a World Championship Team. And Fred, before we close out our interview, where can our listeners go and get a copy of your book?
One can go on Amazon and purchase a copy. I think it's about $24, $25. All net proceeds from Extra Innings go to City of Hope. If you do purchase the book, or if you've read it and you have a chance to post a review on Amazon, I'd greatly appreciate your review,
okay.
whatever
yeah.
your review may be, because I think I know from what's already taken place, it will make people more aware of the City of Hope. I had an email just yesterday from a friend whose son is fighting cancer. Mm. He had read the book, and he told his mom that he was going to get a second opinion from the City of Hope, and that's doable. And there's nothing more important. You're struggling with cancer. You're struggling with any disease. You have questions. Reach out and get a second opinion, because it can be not only important, it can be life-changing. I'm not talking about you have to have a second opinion from City Hope. I'm talking about that you become the captain of your own life and your own ship, and make sure that you take the best care and get the best treatment. So I appreciate the opportunity, Alyssa, to talk about the book and my journey and the Dodgers and all of the support that I've been so blessed to receive.
Absolutely. You are such an inspiration. Dodgers former general manager and executive, the great Fred Claire, has been on our program this morning at Sports Map Radio Network. Go ahead and get a copy of his new book. It is titled Extra Innings, Fred Claire's Journey to the City of Hope and Finding a World Championship Team. Thank you so much, Fred. God bless. Enjoy the holidays. And we look forward to catching up in 2021, okay?
Look forward to it, and I know we will. Take good care.
Absolutely. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1 at Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, sportsmapradio.com, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Always love to connect with our audience. We're live on Twitter, as always, at eRadio Sports Info. EddieRadioSports.com, PodcastArena.com. You bet, twice as nice. You can go back and listen to all of our amazing guests over our 2 hours. And as always, as a reminder, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, as promised, the golf conversation, it continues as the first ever Fall Masters is underway. Truly a Masters unlike any other. And we are delighted to have back with us from the Golf Channel, that is Matt Adams. He is also host of Fairways of Life Radio. It is live Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can check it out. It's available on every major audio platform, fairwaysoflife.com. Matt, it's been about 6 months since we had you on the show. Good to have you back with us. Thank you, and good morning.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. How are you?
I am doing great. Super excited for this weekend, and I mentioned the Masters, unlike any other. So what does this week mean to you, and what intrigues you the most about this historic weekend?
You know, it's classic the way, now that this Masters in this bizarre year of 2020 is in November, and it's effectively ending at least the major competitive schedule on the men's side of the game. We still have the women's U.S. Open coming up. But on the men's side of the game, this will wrap up the major competitive schedule. We still have, in the week that's before us, you know, more golf to be played in the PGA Tour before we have our Thanksgiving break. And after the RSM Classic, we don't see the PGA Tour again until early January. So the Masters traditionally, as you well know, is in April. And it is an insufferable amount of time between the last major championship until the first at Augusta National. So the anticipation level is absolutely through the roof. The thing that I think history will look back on and say, in the anomaly again that was 2020, hopefully an anomaly that it was, that here we have the major schedule on the men's side ending with the Masters and starting with the Masters. And so the anticipation for the tournament coming into this week was so high and so much excitement, and we've seen such great things already. And then there will be the anticipation of it being the first when we get to April of the four majors as well. It's just so, for so many different reasons, the fact that it's bookending itself now just contributes to, I think, lore that is the Masters, and the enthusiasm, the excitement, and love that all of us as sports fans and golf fans have for it.
You are listening to the familiar voice. He's from the Golf Channel. That is Matt Adams, is with us at Sports Map Radio Network. You talk about the anticipation, the excitement, and certainly one of the biggest storylines coming into the 2020 Masters is Bryson DeChambeau and his length. So, just overall, I mean, what are your expectations for him, and will it be an advantage? I mean, we saw on day one he got in a little bit of trouble on hole 13.
Yeah, but I think the thing with Augusta National is that, first of all, whether you're talking about Bryson or whoever you want to discuss that's long off the tee, by and large, distance is an advantage, and distance has always been an advantage in the game. If you look at traditionally the longest players in their day, and if you go to, say, Gene Sarazen, to Bobby Jones, who with Hickory Shafts hit it 200, 250 plus yards back in the day. Imagine that. To the Byron Nelsons, to the Sam Sneeds. Ben Hogan was playing long enough. Arnold Palmer was long. Jack Nicklaus was just flat out long. And that was playing with the old clubs and a golf ball like a marshmallow. So, again, we could go through each era that way, to Tiger and beyond. At the time that they were at the height of their prowess, they had the advantage of length on top of everything else. The truly great have the ability to think them through themselves through circumstance as well. The truly great have attributes that other players don't have. They may have length, but they lack short game. The truly great have both. And they particularly have something that I call clutch putting. I haven't seen a stat on it yet, but if you look at, for example, Jordan Spieth, in 15, and certainly when he won his Open a couple years later, he had the ability to clutch putt. Everyone looks at Jordan Spieth and goes, wow, he's such a great putter. But he statistically, he's never been a great putter. He's a great clutch putter. So when he has to make it, he does. And so that's the piece of the puzzle that has to be there as well. And when you look at Augusta National is just not about on.
Well, you know, we just rewind and we think about Bryson DeChambeau at the U.S. Open, where he was able to, you know, Matt, capitalize on his distance. But as you said, I mean, like, he putted beautifully. So we continue to learn a lot from watching him. But what do you think overall his style means for the game of golf? And are you surprised to see that Bryson, he's got a share of critics and he seems to be causing a little anxiety in the game? We should relax a little bit, right?
Well, I mean, the thing is with what's happening is that because his major imprint right out of the game is not, even though he's capable of doing all those other elements of the game as well as anybody else in the world, or else he wouldn't be a U.S. Open champion, he wouldn't be competing and winning on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. But his chief attribute right now, even by his own admission, is this bulking up and hitting the ball a mile. And so there are critics right now because we're at a very frenzied and emotional time in the game where there was a debate over the length that the golf ball is flying in the game of golf. And right now, the poster child for that is Bryson DeChambeau because he's stepping up and going, look, I'm doing it differently. That aspect of it, just to focus on that for a second, this is the part that people are missing. Bryson DeChambeau isn't just putting on weight and smashing the ball as far as possible. The formula is not that simple. That may be part of his formula, but he's playing the driver that has between 5 and 6 degrees of loft. He's right, and he was talking about a 48-inch driver.
Right.
Which will put into play as soon as he gets that one dialed in as well. So that's going to happen. So it's equipment, it's training, it's dialing in TrackMan numbers, and that includes launch angle, angle of attack. That includes spin rates. There's a lot of other elements that go into that play as well. His clubs are all the same length. Sand wedge, 6-iron, doesn't matter. They're all the length of that 6-iron. Every one of them are that length. So there are multiple elements, many elements, that he has brought together with a symphony of efforts in order to do what he's doing. It's not as simple as saying, if another world-class golfer would say, well, I'm just going to swing harder. It's not that simple. There's more to it than that. And that's one of the things that people have to remember. Now, to the other point I was making, as to why he's going to have detractors for a variety of reasons, but one of them is this distance thing, where there are people saying the game of golf is being destroyed because where you would have, say, had a par 4 that would have been driver 5-iron back in the day, it's a driver pitching wedge maybe today. And there is merit to that argument. And I think from golf's governing bodies, now I'm talking about the USGA and the RNA's perspective, that they're taking a look at distance in the game and saying, okay, if you take a long-term view of what's happening with the distance gains, and it is, again, for a variety of reasons, but nonetheless, if you take a look at that and you put that on a schedule, say, 50 or 100 years from now, where will the game of golf be at? And so I think there's real merit in golf's governing bodies going, we need to look at this now for the long-term health of the game. Where the line gets crossed and where people get confused, however, is when they say, well, there's all these golf courses are going to have to lengthen themselves because of what these players are doing. And that's where I say, whoa, 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 there's a point of caution there. If you add all of the PGA Tour events together, all the events of the PGA Tour, PGA Tour Champions, Corn Ferry Tour, add in the LPGA, you're talking about less than 200 tournaments a year. There are over 16,000 courses in the United States alone. There is a distance problem in the game of golf, and the distance problem is that 99.99% hit it too short. The average driving distance for men is 207 yards, and for women it's 156 yards. So the argument that golf in distance needs to be dialed back across the board because of what Bryson's doing or Roy's doing or DJ or Brooks or any of those top players are doing is subterfuge. It's dancing beyond clouds. I do think it needs to be looked at the top tier of the game, but at the rest of the game, it is not a problem. And I think that's a very, very important decision. distinction to make.
We are so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, you have dialed into the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Our very special guest is Matt Adams. He is a multiple-time New York Times best-selling author, Golf Channel personality, and host of the award-winning radio show Fairways of Life with Matt Adams, which airs live weekdays, 8 a.m. Eastern Time, around the world on Fairways of Life app, fairwaysoflife.com. Okay, so this year's Masters, the 84th, it definitely has a different feel and a dynamic because, you know what, patrons are not allowed. So when you subtract and you take away the fans, does that, Matt, do you think that gives a better opportunity for a younger competitor to go out there and walk away with that green jacket?
I think it does, but again, my reasons for it may not be the obvious ones in terms of just nerves and feeling like you're performing in front of a live audience. But rather because if you're a veteran of playing multiple tournaments at Augusta National, then camera stands, grandstands, any type of support structures that are out there, on any given year, you were used to talking to your caddy and consulting and saying, okay, and many times it was even people because people that have the tickets, they go every year and they take up the same position, go, yeah, we're hitting it right at that guy, right? Yeah, that's our line. That's where we're going to start. But more often than not, it's edge of a grandstand, or it's a camera tower, or et cetera. You know, it could be a bunch of other things too. Those structures are not there by and large. So the golf course is physically looking different than it has before. Now, it's an adjustment. I'm not saying it's going to derail a veteran player, but it's definitely different than what it was before, and it contributes to this different feel at the tournament. As to, you know, if you look at, say, you know, the young guys that were coming in and playing their first Masters, sure, they're looking at it and they're going to see the golf course as it is. It's not what happens with the tournament when it gets dressed out for a huge event, and obviously this is the biggest, then it ends up getting framed, visually framed by what they do. That visual framing, I'm not just talking about sight lines, I'm talking mm-hmm. about visual framing of holes, etc., depth perception, that doesn't exist. So for the young guys, they're going to come out and they're going to get their yardage. You're going to get it to a mark, and that's it is what it is. They don't know any different. That's the case. As to the fans and the impact that the fans have in terms of setting off a young player for the nerves of performing, I don't really get that. These are the best in the world, and they're quite used to performing before audiences all the time. Anyway, I think it has more of an impact on the veteran players. Players that, you know, are used to having galleries around them all the time. And no matter what they do, they've got thongs in tow. Now they don't. And I think it tends to throw off those players more than those who are already relatively used to performing in either with light crowds or obscurity anyway. But the ones that are used to the throngs following them, just legions of people in tow, I think that it requires additional focus and concentration on their part because they don't have that energy to feed off that they normally have. There's virtually nobody on the hole.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Matt Adams after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to go back inside the ropes and continue our Masters in November conversation with Matt Adams. Our time is winding down with the Golf Channel's Matt Adams, Masters in November. My final question for you, and I definitely wanted you to weigh in on, is the news about Augusta National finally salutes a trailblazer, Lee Elder, who becomes the first African-American to play in the Masters. So what an achievement 45 years later. It's such wonderful news. Just talk about what this means.
Well, I'm on a personal story, and I'll keep it very quick for you. Because we've been doing the Fairways of Life show for so long, and listen, we have over 10,000 interviews now in our archives.
Wow, congratulations.
And I get asked, what was your top interview? Mm-hmm. And one of my top interviews was Charlie Sifford. Now, Charlie Sifford couldn't even get onto the PGA Tour because at the time it was a division of the PGA of America that had a Caucasian-only rule. He had to take court action in order to be allowed to play where he was good enough to play, but otherwise the color of his skin was prohibiting him. And he made it onto the PGA Tour. He won multiple times on the PGA Tour, but it was well after the height of his prowess. He was in his 40s by the time he was able to do it. One year he was leading at the Canadian Open. And in the middle of the tournament, a sign was posted in the locker room that said, this year the winner of the Canadian Open will no longer receive an invitation to the Masters. It was very painful, wow. Harmful. The day that I did that interview with him, he was 86 and change. Mm-hmm. And to that day, you could sense the pain. So when Lee Elder finally played as the first African-American at the Masters in 1975, everyone will tell you it was well past due. The beauty of him being honored now to be one of the ceremonial starters of the Masters just underscores and illustrates the simple message is that it is never too late to do the right thing. Thank goodness this man's trailblazing path, which started not only with him, but as I mentioned, Charlie Sifford before him, Teddy Rose before him, and many others. Thank goodness that it's finally being celebrated at Augusta National. They did the right thing. I can't wait to see it.
Absolutely. A long overdue recognition and a very special, meaningful 2021 Masters. That will be our very special guest. Has been Matt Adams from the Golf Channel. Matt, quickly connect with our audience. Where can they check out Fairways of Life and your radio show?
The easiest way is to get it. We've actually done the beta testing and the television out there. So if you look up Fairways of Life on Facebook, look up Fairways of Life on YouTube, you can actually watch the show in the television form as well. Now that's worldwide. At Matt Adams, F-O-L, as in Fairways of Life, at Matt Adams, F-O-L, on Twitter. And as you mentioned, Fairways of Life.com. Those are the big touchstones. And from there, you'll find everything you're doing.